Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, October 27, 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Here's some Andy Reid there. We have some more Andy Reid from his Zoom press conference that took place yesterday, talking about the win over the Broncos and getting ready, going on lockdown to prepare for the New York Jets. The Jets will pose many a problem for the Kansas City Chiefs, and so circle the wagons, bring everything in, and get ready. Get ready for weird sounds in my head. Get ready for Chiefs Jets that we've been waiting for. I've had this game circled for several hours, so can't wait to get this one on the field and then move on, because it's been very distracting. All I've been thinking about is Chiefs Jets the whole season. I'd like to focus on some other games. Thank you very much. So we'll talk to Andy Reid coming up and hear what he has to say. We'll hear from Andy. I'd like to talk to Andy Reid right now. Give him a call. We'll hear from Andy Reid and hear what he had to say out at Arrowhead. Also, we'll hear some Big 12 coaches. I'd like to hear from Chris Klieman. Maybe a little less miles on the KU QB situation that Nate has been monitoring. So all that and more. We'll hear Mike Gundy talking about some Big 12 quarterbacks that are having some success in the NFL, like Baker Mayfield coming back with a last-second win over the Bengals. Kyler Murray coming back with an overtime victory over the Seattle Seahawks. Bo Jackson can do that. Patrick Mahomes. You know Patrick Mahomes is good, isn't he? Yeah. That's no surprise. But there's a good representation of Big 12 quarterbacks right now in the NFL. Let's go, baby. So we'll talk to Mike Gundy. We'll hear from Mike Gundy, and we'll hear what he has to say about the caliber of Big 12 quarterbacks right now in the league, taking a step back after watching some super-duper stars go into the league. I mean, hell, just from look who's been at Oklahoma as of late. And, they put Baker Mayfield in the league. They put Kyler Murray in the league. They put Jalen Hurts, even though he's not playing right now. He's still a second-round pick. And so Mike Gundy has some good comments. We'll hear those a little bit later. And we'll also hear the budding controversy from what happened last night on Monday Night Football involving Brian Griese and Nick Foles and Matt Nagy. I know that last night wasn't the most exciting game ever. Did you guys hang around for all the controversy that is now taking Chicago by storm?
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter because I had checked out of the game at that point.
You didn't see it when it was said.
No, I didn't. But I watched obviously people took it to Twitter and posted the video of it and started following it from there.
Jake, were you watching when this? When Brian Griese said what he said?
No, I did not. I was not watching. I was watching the score on my phone. I was a little frustrated with the game. I had more than a rooting interest in it.
What frustrated you specifically? Share that with us.
In the game?
What didn't you like? Yeah. You said that you were frustrated by the game. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, the score, mostly, because I had
Bears. Are you talking about personally with Nick Foles?
Oh, No.
I didn't know if it was like you were mad that Foles wasn't playing well or you had some interest.
I needed something from Allen Robinson yesterday.
I got nothing.
I needed a good something from him, and I got nothing from him. So that was frustrating me.
So, and Matt Nagy also. Let me get. I'm gonna send you the good job. It was all happening in real time, and so after Brian Griese made these comments that he says that Nick Foles said to him about play calling, and then everyone on Twitter's, hears the comments made by Brian Griese in the booth during the game, And so people take to Twitter like, oh, that better be the first question to Matt Nagy about this. And you're thinking, ah, is it going to be? Because this is where I think it worked out that a lot of reporters are watching maybe from home and that they're watching the game and then they could see that and then get on Zoom and ask questions. I know there's some reporters that are there, but, I mean, that helps because maybe, like imagine, like if you're – we've all covered, you know, games at Arrowhead. If you're covering the game, you don't always know what the – You don't always know quick enough to ask the coach first question about something that the broadcast crew said, right? You're all wrapped up into it and you don't see it. Sure, I agree with myself, right? Yeah, and so in my experience, that doesn't always happen. So now in this situation, maybe the guy asking the question was watching or he was monitoring social media a little bit closer, and so he was able to ask. Ask Matt Nagy about it. So I DM'd you the Matt Nagy comment. So here, let's start off with Brian Griese. This was him in the booth last night during the Bears' loss to the Rams.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. And sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here, and so that's something that they have to get worked out.
Okay, so as soon as you hear that, your ears perk up.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? What? That's not going to go over very well. So let's start right there. Let's say you're a Bears fan, or just whatever, a football fan. What's your first reaction to hearing Brian Griese say that during a game where the Bears are offensively challenged?
Well, first of all, just as a non-Bears fan, as a member of the media, I was thinking to myself, oh, Foles didn't want him saying that on the air. You know, that was the first thing I thought of, is like Foles is going to be calling Griese and say, dude, that wasn't supposed to be on the air.
So, but what if it was?
Maybe it was. And if it is, that's a real problem.
Well, that would be a huge a-hole move by Griese. If he took that to the airways and wasn't supposed to.
Well, it's very possible that, I mean, I feel like I've been in situations like that where he might not have been told this isn't for air, you know? I mean, and Foles might have just thought, well, hey, we're talking, we're chatting here, and, you know, when we get to the real sit-down interview part or whatever, I don't know.
I mean, it's interesting. From my perspective, I'm curious whether that was said on a one-on-one conversation or if it was during a production meeting, because those are two different settings, right? In a production meeting, if he's sitting there and he's saying that in front of everybody in a production meeting, you know that everything you say in those meetings, they're for air. And if it's not, then you say it's not. This is not for air, guys. I'm going to tell you this, though. And that's in a production
meeting.
This is
meeting. No rookie broadcaster.
Right.
This is a guy that played quarterback in the NFL and has been calling football, whether it be college or pro, for a long time. And this is no rookie quarterback.
Right.
Okay. I would accept some type of miscommunication here if this was a first or second year quarterback that hasn't been around the block or a broadcaster that didn't play in the NFL. Boy, that would be hard to believe if Nick Foles said that in confidence and Brian Griese just went ahead and went with that on Monday Night Football.
That's fair. That was just my first reaction when I saw it.
Right.
You know, my first reaction.
I think everyone probably had some type of reaction like that. But then thinking about it more, that would be bizarre, right?
Considering
who the two guys are.
It's hard to believe. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to think that would happen, like you said, with two veterans. If I'm a Bears fan and I watch, I mean, I'm thinking this problem all along has maybe been the coach and not the quarterback.
So what would be your biggest issue if you're a Bears fan? What's the worst thing? Like, who's at most fault here? Or what would you have the biggest problem with? The play calling that's clearly a problem that Nick Foles is complaining about? And he's intimating there the offensive line doesn't give him enough time. So the play calling / offense, the fact that there's a real problem, or would you be more troubled by Nick Foles taking that problem to Brian Griese? Or would you have more of an issue with Brian Griese for releasing that issue live on Monday Night Football? Well, who would you have the biggest gripe with?
Oh, Nagy. 100%. Because I think that if I'm a Bears fan, I've been all over Mitch Trubisky this whole time. You know, that this guy, they could have had Mahomes, they could have had Watson, and we got this guy instead, and he's no good, and I'd have been all over him probably. That's what fans do, right? They go after the quarterback first. But then when you switch the quarterback, and you go to a quarterback who has won a Super Bowl, who's been pretty good, maybe not great, but pretty good, everywhere he's been. He's at least been a competent NFL quarterback, right? You put him in, and he looks just as bad, and he's saying this stuff. Then you say, okay, now there's two quarterbacks that have looked bad under this guy, and one of them's got a resume. You know, one of them, we've seen how he can look when he's on a good team and being coached well. So to me, it's like it's all on Nagy. I feel like Foles is not the kind of guy that's ever been thought of as a malcontent or a guy that goes around airing dirty laundry. And so to me, it would be if he did it on purpose, if this wasn't some sort of miscommunication where he was thought he was talking in confidence to Greasy, if he put it out there on the record, that means that he thinks there's a real problem that they've tried to address in-house that isn't getting addressed. That would be the way I would take.
See, I took it as Foles doesn't think the play is going to work, not because it's the guy's a terrible play caller, because the offensive line is not going to give him. Like, was he throwing Nagy? I guess Nagy would be part of it if you're calling plays that the offensive line can't block for. But I would also be. That's taking a shot at your offensive line. He's not going to have time to execute the play. Why wouldn't he have time? Because of the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that, but it could also be depending on how many guys are coming. You know, like how many guys are rushing. Do they have enough guys to block all those guys?
I wouldn't like it if I was on the offensive line if I heard those comments.
But I think that the part to me that made it sound like he's coming more after Nagy was, I try to tell him, and it was the effect of, he's not back there getting hit like I am. You know, he thinks I've got time for it, and he's wrong, basically, and I'm trying to tell him. And so, that's how I took it.
Right, but I mean, you would take away that, I tried to tell him this offensive line sucks, but he's not listening. He's calling these plays anyway. I mean, either way, I mean, he's calling out the coach, and he's throwing his offensive line under the bus to call out the coach. I mean, that's the problem, that they're not giving him enough time. And also, let's be honest, Foles and Trubisky, the one difference, obviously, besides the Super Bowl ring, is one guy can run around a little bit. Foles is a statue. He's not going anywhere. And so he's not going to buy you any extra time. And so maybe some of the things Nagy wants to do, he can't totally deal with Foles, but that's on him. You've got to tailor your game plan and play calling to the quarterback that you've got and the quarterback that you traded for. So let's hear. So first, Matt Nagy was asked about it. I'm sure he was excited to have this on top of the loss. Here's Matt Nagy and his when he was asked right off the bat in the press conference about Brian Griese's comments in the booth.
Hey, Matt, on the ESPN broadcast, Brian Griese relayed a conversation he had with Nick Foles, where Nick apparently told him, this is a quote from the broadcast, sometimes play calls come in and I know I don't have time to execute that play call. Has he communicated that to you, and did you feel like he had enough time today to execute the play calls you called?
We've never had that conversation, but explain to me what that comment meant, what it was that he said.
His exact comment was, quote, sometimes play calls come in. This is just what Brian Griese said on the broadcast. I don't know if Nick said this, but this is what he said. Nick relayed to him. Sometimes play calls come in and I don't know that I have the time to execute that play call, and I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the play is Matt Nagy. He doesn't know how much time there is back there, and so that's something they have to work out. That's just what was said on the broadcast.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to, whenever you talk to Nick, just kind of see where he's at with that. Nick and I have a pretty good relationship, and he hasn't said – I mean, he'll probably explain what he meant by that.
Did you feel like today, though, that the play calls you were getting in, Nick did have enough time to execute them?
I don't know. I got to watch the tape and see. I know there's a couple here or there where, you know, you're in scat protection certain times, and they might make you hot here or there, but I have no idea. You know, you just I have to go back and see it exactly what the deal is. I know as far as the play, if you're saying the play's getting in to be able to call the play, there's no issue there. I don't know what the next part was.
And that's other people were speculating, you know, Matt Nagy takes too long to get the play calls in, and then Foles. Twitter was so much fun last night as people were trying to figure out what the hell was going on with this little controversy. So here, Nick Foles was asked about his comments in the post-game press conference.
That was definitely a miscommunication with Brian and I. You know, we do these pregame conversations the day before the game just to give them information. That conversation, Coach Nagy and I have a great conversation on the sidelines. So there might be times where we go through it beforehand and say, hey, what do you think? And there's times where you got to get the ball out quick and whatnot. But in those situations, like Matt and I have a great relationship on the sideline with conversations and everything. I think, you know, in that situation with Brian, it was just a miscommunication of words, because that's not what I was trying to bring across in that conversation.
Well, Jake, you've been a part of these production meetings and been around CBS broadcasts for a long time. What do you think happened here? Nick Foles is claiming miscommunication. He didn't. That's not what I said. He misunderstood me.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is all speculation. 1,000% speculation.
Oh,
is
but that, it's fun, isn't it?
It is.
Jake?
It is. But I'm willing to bet that Nick Foles did not say that in a meeting room with a producer, a director, and talent sitting in front of them across the table. Because that's what a production meeting looks like when they sit down with the quarterback, usually a coach and maybe a coordinator. So they usually do a couple of coaches, a player or two, and they sit down. And it's a long, you know, they do four or five interviews, and it's a couple hours. It's a process. You know, these guys get intense. This is their work. And so they're asking these players and coaches questions, and they all know, they're of the understanding, the players and coaches are, that this is for the broadcast. And so if they don't want something to be said, because I know I've been in meetings where coaches said, hey, this is not for air. You know, this is what we're looking at. This is what we're going to do. Or even to the point is, hey, this is a personnel move. Just so you guys are ready, you know. And that's why you in the broadcast, the Chargers game, right, if something like that were to happen, the broadcast crew would probably have a heads up. But that was an injury situation, and they had no idea. Right? But if a coach wanted to reveal a quarterback and didn't want the other team to know and had not – there's no inclination of any kind of personnel, they'll tell them that something like, hey, we're going to go with Herbert, but you cannot say that. You can't do that. You can't put that in your starting lineups. This is not for air, but I want you to have
heard. And I've heard guys like say in the booth, like, you know, the coach told us that this play was coming. We couldn't say anything.
Right.
But, they told us to look for this around the goal line, you know, whatever, like Dontari Poe was going to get a look.
Yeah.
They'll tell them something so they'll be prepared for it in the broadcast. But it'll be embargoed, and they ask them not to say anything, because they feed them all kinds of stuff for a broadcast, right?
And so I'm willing to guess that this was a conversation that was had outside of one of those meetings between Greasy and Foles. And whether, you know, how it got to this point is one person thought they were on the record, and the other one thought they weren't. And that's, you know, in Foles.
Shouldn't Greasy know that?
I would assume, yes. The answer is that yes, but it's on Foles to say, hey, man, this isn't for air, too.
But he's been through these production meetings on both sides as quarterback and broadcaster, and you would think Nick Foles, I mean, I don't know. It just seems
it's going to be uncomfortable, though, for Greasy. I mean, seriously, like everybody, for the rest of the year.
He's uncomfortable for Matt Nagy more than anyone.
Yeah, but, I mean, no one's going to tell Greasy anything now.
You know what I would like to
on
know?
On or off the record?
Well, good. Maybe they'll bump him from the broadcast. Good.
I just wonder.
What do you wonder?
Well, I'd love to talk to Trent Green or somebody, one of the guys that we work with that's played in the NFL at quarterback, to see how common are these conversations.
Would you say something if one of the sporting players or even an opposing player said something like the equivalent in soccer about something?
Like a disagreement with Peter Vermees?
Or just said something like said something offhand about like about substitutions. Well, he doesn't make the substitution fast enough sometimes.
Or a player being played at a different spot. Like, say, Busio. Right. Is Busio is like, hey, Nate, you know, I can't stand playing in the defensive
midfield.
Or just
not even something that inflammatory, but just something like a disagreement that he has or something, a problem that he has or some type of strategic,
No, but, one thing I'll say is that, I work for the team. Greasy's working for the NFL or working for ESPN, so he's not working for the team.
You've done games where you weren't working for the team, right?
I would definitely try not to say anything that's on that is off the record. If it was something that wasn't supposed to be for the record, I would try not to say it. I will say though, there are times when you have all these conversations with a bunch of different people, and then all of a sudden something comes to your mind in the middle of the game, and you think to yourself, was that on the record or off the record? I don't remember because I don't have like a list right in front of me. These comments were off the record, and these ones were on. So then it's like, okay, I'm probably not going to say anything at all because I don't want to get myself in trouble here. Yeah, but my producer, when I've done games for Fox National, his big slogan is, "You can't get in trouble for what you don't say." If there's anything that's a doubt in your mind, just don't say anything at all. Let the pictures do the talking. You can't get in trouble for what you don't say.
I bet you get in trouble if you just stop talking, though, in the middle of the broadcast.
Yeah, so, you probably
you
would
shut it
be
down.
Removed.
Sometimes. Hey, Nate, say something.
Nope.
Scored a goal, Nate.
Get in trouble.
The funny thing is, I actually have been in trouble for something I haven't said before, but that's a story for off the air. But,
why don't you tell us what happened?
Tell me off the air.
You do not tease the listener. The listener is part of the show. This is a family. This is an inner circle. If you say something, if you say it's good for off the air,
I've been admonished for not sticking up for something enough when somebody else I was on the air with was attacking that thing.
That's what I want to hear.
It's not what you said, it's what you didn't say. You didn't stand up for us, that type of thing.
A little backbone, Buchanan. Come on.
That happens. So you can get in trouble for what you don't say.
There it is.
I just wonder, How many conversations between players at like offensive coordinators and quarterbacks have? I mean, just the Wasp situation. There's Mahomes going, do we have time to run Wasp? There's a conversation about the time we have to run this play because it's a long, slow developing play. And with who's rushing us and who we have to block, do we have time? That was the question. And so I wonder, is it common? Is it common for a quarterback to be like, hey, Matt, if they're friends, like if he really does have a good relationship with Nagy, if he comes over to him and goes, dude, I don't have time for this play right now. And Nagy going, oh, come on. Yeah, you do. Just hang on to it for half a second. We can get it there. And he's going, you're not the one getting blown up. Like that could be, I feel like that could actually be a conversation that a quarterback who respects his coach and vice versa could have. And maybe that's the way Foles was trying to tell it to Greasy. But then the way it comes across over the air is, Foles is fed up with his offensive coordinator or his coach because he's calling all these plays that they don't have time for. And maybe what he was just trying to say is, look, we've only done a couple games together with me being quarterback and him being coach, and we're still trying to figure that out. We're still working on him having a feel for how much time I need to make a play, all that. And then when it gets said and we're all on Twitter speculating and it turns into I just wonder, maybe it's not even that crazy of a statement. I don't know.
I don't think Foles or Nagy wanted that on Monday Night Football.
Not the way it came across. That's for sure.
And Brad tweeted in, isn't that what an audible's for? But I think maybe part of it is the suggestion that Nagy's not getting the plays in quick enough. And if you're not, if you don't have enough time to change it, what can you do? You got to go with that play.
And different systems have different audible responsibilities. Remember Trent Green talked about that when he was with the Chiefs, that we're not allowed to audible. That's not part of the offense.
And I wanted it was guaranteed that Jake was going to defend Nick Foles in this situation, so I'm glad he did. I'm glad you were on brand, Jake.
Well,
stand by your man.
Consistency.
That's what I look for you from you.
I don't think he was trying to burn
loyal.
His offensive line either.
Nah. He wasn't burning. He was burning himself. I don't know. My point is, and maybe he was, but if I'm one of the offensive linemen, I said, really, dude? Oh, so you don't have enough time. That's what the problem is. And maybe it is. but I don't think any.
Yeah, you probably don't want to hear that from a guy that you're blocking for.
Just like you don't want to hear, I can't throw it and catch it too, right?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. We'll take a break. Well, that was fun. And on top of that, the Rams beat the Bears last night. So Chicago should be feeling pretty good. Even though they're 5-2, that was not a good night at the office, losing 24-10 to the Rams on Monday Night Football. back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here's a relatable story that we could tell you about. So, you guys remember long ago when I used to host the Jared Allen TV show that was simulcast on radio and TV. Back in his playing days with the Kansas City Chiefs, we would do the show live at the 810 zone, and we have a very good, energetic, very interactive crowd. One time, a lady was there with some friends, and Jared did not want to talk about football. He wanted to have a contest, like, who would do something crazy for tickets? And I think it was to go see the Chiefs play the Jags. And and he decided he wanted someone to let them let him put Tabasco sauce in their eyes, and have the chef come and slice open an onion, a fresh onion, and rub the onion in their eyes. And I was so alarmed, and I didn't know why he wanted someone to do this. And then I was even more alarmed that a very nice lady also wanted to do this for the tickets. And so she held her eyes open like Clockwork Orange, and Jared put Tabasco sauce in her eyes, and then a nice fresh onion was cut from the kitchen, and she took each half of the onion and rubbed it in her eyes.
Oh.
And then she starts screaming. And then her friends like throwing water in her face, and I'm like, this might be my last night on the job, because I'm hosting, and I love Jared, but I had zero control over anything during the show. He'd have guests but that's what made it fun. It was the most, it was like a roller coaster that you didn't know if you were gonna be able to finish it because it was so wild every time I did a show with him. And so, long story short, he was supposed to leave tickets for her at the window. Next week, she comes back, and she is furious. Jared forgot to leave the tickets for her at will call after she had put all that stuff in her eyes. And so she's just yelling, and he reaches his pocket, grabs however much money was in there, which is a pretty good amount. He goes, "I'm sorry, here," and gives her a handful of a wad of cash. And she was like, "Okay, then that's fine." And I think she still got tickets as well. But it was wonderful. It was a wonderful thing that happened over a course of 2 weeks. And thankfully, she was happy and he was happy. But I'll never forget that. And so I saw up close what Tabasco sauce in your eyes, what happens. And then we did the Packy. Is it the Packy Chip Challenge?
Yep.
Last year, or 2 years ago, and Jake and I. Thank you to our ancestors from Mexico. We were able to eat that delicious chip, and it didn't bother us. So we were pretty good. Like, okay, we feel pretty good about this, the way people have been reacting. Nate gets in on the act, and I believe I told him, Jake told him, and someone else told him, do not touch your face or eyes after you handle this chip. And I mean within 10 seconds of the first bite, Nate, what did you do?
I touched my face. I rubbed tears out of my eyes.
He had to rub his eyes because they were teared up.
I think to be clear, like you tried like two times, like no, don't do that. You're like, oh yeah, oof. Like two different times, like you almost touched your face.
I fought off the instinct.
It was quick though.
And then the third time is like you touched it. It's like, oh no, and you're like, oh, I did it.
Yeah.
I mean, there was milk in your eyes. Then we all had all kinds of stuff. Huh. There was a very
not the first time.
We were scared, though. I mean, it didn't go right away, did it? It took a while.
That was very painful. Yes, that was very painful. I went to the commissary and was rinsing my eye out with water, and the guy.
Someone else got a beat down.
Yes, because
what happened?
There was
Kyle.
He
Kyle.
First of all, it was his idea. and I wasn't really asked if I wanted to participate in this.
Kyle. What did I miss? What happened?
No, well, he had the iPad in Nate's face.
He was recording the whole thing. That was the whole point of his. He was recording it all with the iPad. He was going to post it on social media. Which one of us had to drink the milk first?
Even your agony?
And, of course, the two of you, like, didn't even break a sweat. You looked like you just had eaten a piece of bland toast or something.
Well.
And I was sweating profusely, and then I touched my eye, and my eye was burning, so I ran into the commissary and was rinsing my eye out, and he's right in my face with that iPad recording it. And finally, I looked at him, I said, dude, if you don't get that iPad on my face, I'm going to break it over your head. And I might have dropped a couple. And it was funny because he realized that I was being serious, and he was like, okay. He just started walking away. Then I threw up in my kids' school parking lot later that day. It was good. Good day.
And all the parents thought you just showed up hammered and you were throwing up in the parking lot, you know.
Well, it's Tuesday. Old man Bucati's over there throwing up in the parking lot again.
Where are my kids? So let's take a break now that that's been set up. And when we come back, we'll find out what NFL coordinator had to halt a press conference because he accidentally rubbed Tabasco sauce in his eyes. So that resonated with the Border Patrol. We'll talk about that after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, so we told you about our experiences with hot sauce and Tabasco sauce in the eyes of people. Now let's hear from Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator Mike Nolan, who had a little bit of an issue during his press conference yesterday, which it's not exactly a place you would think that Tabasco sauce in your eyes would be an issue. But here is the press conference yesterday. Whoa. Sounded like
a festive
press conference there. Very, very exciting.
Hot sauce is hot.
That's fine.
I like a good Buster Poindexter.
Would you really have broken the iPad over Kyle's head?
Nah, I wouldn't want to damage property, but I would have. Something would have happened. I don't know what.
Were you close though? I mean, to do something like that. Were you close to really?
I was hot. I was hot, both physically and mentally.
Hot.
Yep.
You weren't that kind of hot, though. You weren't looking to dance. You were looking to...
No.
All right. I just want to know what, you know...
And dance like in a... You want to dance, bro?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Maybe you wanted to, you know... You wanted to throw hands with him? Let's hear Mike Nolan yesterday at his press conference.
He's been active every week. You know, as far as, I think, disrupting the quarterback, he's you know, escaped several times to do that. Obviously, the frustration for him... as well, it's just, you know, look, when he misses them, I got something in my eye. Just had some Tabasco on my finger and it went in my eye. That wasn't good. Oh.
Never good.
It's terrible. Jeez. I'm sorry.
Hang on, guys. We'll be right back.
Give me 1 second.
All right, we're back. Jory, I guess...
Forgive me, I'm sorry. I don't remember the question. If you give it to me again...
What's going on?
Put hot sauce in my bag. Hot sauce in my bag.
Extra.
Hot sauce in my bag.
Extra.
Hot sauce
extra.
In my bag.
I know what's going on there. Dallas seems like an organization that's really hitting on all cylinders right now.
Oh, yeah. It's going well.
Everything's just fine. That ain't no joke, though, man. I don't know why... At the press conference, Tabasco sauce was on his fingers, but perhaps he just had some delicious eggs with some Tabasco sauce. I don't know. Still kind of just curious why it's not something you normally see at a press conference.
Maybe wash your hands. I don't know. In the current climate we're in, maybe wash your hands. Maybe a little hand sanitizer, especially if you have your hands around your face. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he likes to go out there and
got something in my eye. Wait,
excuse me here. I just
one of the first things it made me think of was back in the day before they renovated Arrowhead in the smaller older press box. If you'd go there to cover the games on a Sunday, they always had like that egg casserole breakfast like for the media, And they always had those tiny little bottles of Tabasco, you know, those. And I would always.
You got to put Tabasco sauce
in. Itty bitties.
Oh, you have to. Yeah, you have to. And I just wondered, like, I wonder if they were serving some kind of old-fashioned breakfast before the presser yesterday. And, you know, maybe he had a little, one of those tiny little bottles of Tabasco sauce and didn't realize he had some on his finger.
Why didn't he wash his hands, like Jake said?
Yeah, you're right.
But, you
it's
know,
a fair point.
I'm guessing you have to, like, to have it on your fingers, though. Like, that's straight bottle to your eggs, right? So, like,
what's
you
he,
have to eat, like, wings or something, right? if you have the actual sauce on your fingers.
I hope he washed his hands if he'd just been eating wings.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes
hey,
if you're
a real man eats eggs with his hands and fingers. Come here. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but I like thinking about it.
Yeah.
I hope his eye is all right. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
I'll tell you.
You get those little bottles of Tabasco sauce. You could just drink those like a shot to go along with your food.
Right.
That's the good stuff. You mouthful of eggs and just pour that little bottle into your mouth. And that, let me tell you something, that is a party in your mouth right there.
Well, hello.
That
huh.
did not sound the way I wanted it to.
Huh.
Popped into my brain. So. Popped into my eggs. And Tabasco sauce. And then you guys have to. What were you going to say, Nate?
Hello.
Please finish the segment.
I don't blame him for not being able to continue answering that question.
Yeah, but
like, I'm sorry. I got this in my eye. I got it.
Did you hear Mike Nolan at any time say, if you ask me one more question, I'm going to break that iPad over your head? I didn't hear that.
No.
You know?
Didn't hear that either.
So.
I don't know. If somebody had walked up to him and stuck an iPad like 5 feet from his face, he might have.
Is that why Kyle left?
Maybe.
I can't believe you really said that? I didn't know you said something.
It was a physical threat.
I told him I was going to break that iPad over his head.
I will say he was invading personal space.
He was inside a 6-foot bubble. Yeah, he was up in
that's
my business.
That's a very specific threat. And the way I look at that is
I kind of wish you would have.
I've told you, like, when I was a kid, when my dad cussed, so what? The sun just came up. The wind's blowing.
Right.
You know, we're all breathing. My dad's cussing. It's normal. It's right. It's what happens. But, like, when my grandpa would cuss, the earth would stop. I'd say, oh, my God. What? Because my grandpa maybe cussed 2 or 3 times in my life. And if he cussed, you knew that the blanket hit the fan.
Right.
And, like, with you, Nate, I don't know that I don't have any record of you physically threatening people. And so it's almost like when my grandpa cussed, when you say, I will break this iPad over your head out of anger, I'm taking that a little serious.
Well, Kyle did.
That's not an empty threat.
I know, Kyle.
Jake, am I right? This is all happening in real time. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Nate will fight, like, verbally argue with you. He'll have point, counterpoint. But for him to go to, I'm going to break that over your head. I mean, that's a pounder's move right away.
Such a specific threat, too. Not like, I'm going to get, he told him what he was going
to
do.
He usually likes to find a solution that doesn't involve that type of. Resolve.
I try to get along with everybody, even if we debate things and stuff. But I'm gonna break that over your head. I'm not in a good place right at that point in time. But my dad's friend Victor Maggio used to always tell me that if you are going to make a threat, you need to make it as specific as possible.
That's right.
For the imagination to fall through.
Like, you need to paint a picture for the person, you know.
It's not like I'm gonna beat you. If you get in close, I'm gonna beat you. It's like, no, I'm gonna break that iPad right over your head.
And again, putting two and two together, I'm no math major. I did not do well in math, but I'm trying to put two and two together. He left Union Broadcast shortly after that.
Yeah,
I think he took that iPad with him.
I don't know if that's what the correlation there is, but there's something. Let's take a break and think about that on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate and Jake, I started watching a TV show that you might like to watch with your significant others that it looks like it's going to be pretty good. It's a limited series on HBO called The Undoing, starring two of my favorites, Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant, who my mother was a big fan of. And, of course, I fell in love with Hugh Grant, that sounds weird to say, in Love Actually, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. But, Nate, it looks like it's a thriller, a mystery, but I think you might like it. I don't know how you feel about Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant, but
I think they're both great actors.
Yeah, one
Nicole
episode.
Nicole Kidman was awesome in Big Little Lies.
Nicole Kidman's just awesome.
Yeah, she's good.
And I like Hugh Grant. And so, like, first episode was Sunday night in the books, thumbs up. So if you're looking for something new to start that won't take forever, I don't know how many episodes, but it's a limited series on HBO, I give that one a thumbs up. And Jake, also, I think we'll include you in the Nicole Kidman fan club, yes? You want a membership?
Yeah, I was a All member right. as soon as I saw Days of Thunder. Then as in,
oh, that's right.
Sold.
She just wanted to, you know, she was a doctor and lover for Cole Trickle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She was torn. She wanted him to be happy, but also wanted him to be safe. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. We're going to talk to James Krause, straight out of Lee Summit from the UFC at 7:30. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com at 8:05. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com will be with us in studio at 9 o'clock to talk about them Lions. Them Detroit Lions. They ain't got no quit. Ain't no quitting the Lions, baby. Hashtag One Pride on Sports Radio 810 WHB.